like that song.
Man, that song is just so true. The way that that verse is described, and that verse, that song actually comes from the scriptures, if you didn't know it. And it's actually a description that one of the writers had said about what salvation is like, and that's exactly what it's like. Taking your soul out of the miry clay, setting your feet upon a rock, establishing your goings, giving you a new song. That's what salvation is all about. A lot of people don't understand what salvation is about. They don't understand what a relationship with the Lord is all about. They have a lot of misconceptions and a lot of preconceptions about what it means to seek God. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. We're going to be reading in the Gospel of John in chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 25. And in what we're about to read, Jesus' response to a group of people that were seeking him. And what had happened is he had done an incredible miracle by feeding a ton of people off of just a few loaves and fishes. He multiplied that supernaturally, fed everybody. And it wasn't an illusion, because people actually ate and were filled. It was an actual creation where there was nothing. And God created it, and he did it through Jesus Christ. And so an incredible miracle. And so people were stunned and just at this miracle. And so then he left, crossed the lake, and went on the other side. They called it a little sea. And then they all took off after him and were coming after him, and they were wanting to see more. And that's when they found him there in verse 25. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? You know, a very simple question. When did you get over here? You know, we were looking for you. We missed you. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we come into your presence this morning. Lord, we belong to you. We're your people. Lord, we trust in your word and what you say. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to preach your word today in a way that would honor you and would be true to the intent of what you got written down here. I pray that you would feed us this morning, not with physical bread, but with spiritual, that you would give us the things that we need for our souls, and Lord, that we'd be equipped to live for you in this present evil world. Just bless our time here now today, and everyone that's listening over the internet right now, that you would bless them and give them understanding and comfort and strength and whatever spiritual thing they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. This passage has been on my mind. I actually preached it about 2 years ago, and then I thought, man, I can't preach it again. I've only preached it 2 years ago. But then I got to thinking, I have no clue what people were preaching 2 years ago. So 90% of you aren't going to remember. So that's safe. And then the other 10% of you that actually do remember, you probably need it again. So we're safe. We're good. So here's what he says. He says, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He is identifying to them, and you think on the outward, it's good. If they were seeking the Lord, that's a good thing, right? That's actually a positive step in the right direction. He lays out the motives just as clear as possible. And he says, you know, I know why you were seeking me. You were seeking me because you did eat of those loaves and were filled. You were seeking me for a free meal. He really identified their underlying motives. They may not have even realized it themselves, but he did. And you think, man, why would he say that? You don't want to. It seems like the attitude nowadays is you don't want to discourage anybody that's seeking after the Lord. You know, they have churches now that are seeker sensitive, where you've done everything possible to do everything in the church in such a way as it won't discourage or scare off just about anybody. And yet it didn't seem like the Lord of Glory was worried about that. He was more worried about the motives of their heart, because I'm telling you something, their physical presence in his presence wasn't. somebody could get me a cup of water. That'd be great. It's not their physical presence that he desired so much. You know, God, he's interested in us, but in a far deeper way. And you're going to see this as we go through this passage right here. I had a friend of mine one time, and things had been working out well for him. Things were working out good. He had bought and sold some property and was just it seemed like just things were just going his way. And then he got a chance to buy a rather large piece of property that was not only nice to go to, but it was actually a really nice place to hunt, too. So he made a comment to me one day, and he said, "Brian," he said, "I never realized how many friends I had until I bought this land." Yeah. "Hey, buddy, friend," you know. He said, "Man, I got a lot of friends all of a sudden." Isn't that kind of human nature? There are people out there that will seek, they will befriend somebody, not for that particular person, but for some other ulterior motive. And it's just human nature. It happens. And people are always looking for something free. People are always trying to figure out something. Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't like it. Can you give me another one? Ungrateful man. Thank you. There are people that seek God for what he can give them. That's what the passage is all about. The passage is all about people that are seeking Jesus Christ, but not for the right reasons. And you think, man, whatever reason they're seeking him, that's fine. That ought to be good. And sometimes it works out. But let me give you a few examples here. There's some people that will seek the Lord based on an emotional experience. And the reason why I say it this way is because I've heard people actually, when I've talked to them about the Lord and everything, they said, yeah, I tried all that once, but nah, I never felt anything. You know, I never felt anything. You know, there are some people that are just naturally emotional. Naturally, I mean, they just ooze with emotion and everything is all birds and sunshine and flowers and they just very experiential. And then there's other people that are kind of, you know, more dial tone, you know, kind of a little bit more leveled out. And if you're seeking the Lord looking for some sort of an emotional an emotional rush, you might be disappointed. There are some people that actually bail out on an opportunity to get the forgiveness of sins because they didn't feel any particular emotion. How many people say, yeah, I read the Bible, but I never really felt anything? Well, you know, you get emotional experiences from just about everything. But God's not necessarily looking for you to get an emotional experience. That's not the prime thing. That's not... there's a couple of reasons. We preach on it all the time. We harp on it. You know, don't trust your emotions. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust we could get into that too deep, but just a couple of things to think about. Number one, that one of the reasons why it's probably not a good idea is because emotions, they don't last. Right? I mean, has anybody, you know, ever, what do they call that? They call it the roller coaster of emotions. You know, there's some people that are way up here then, and then they're down here, and then they're way up here. So that ought to tell you, number one, don't trust what you're absolutely feeling inside. It's because it's not going to last. It's temporal. Matthew chapter 13 describes someone who was seeking the Lord, and they say, yeah, in the beginning, they spring up and they're full of joy and they're excited and they're happy. But then when persecution comes, they're offended and then they wilt away. You know what you're going to need? You're going to need something that goes a lot deeper than your feelings and your emotions. Because I'm telling you, they're unstable and they can't be trusted. By the way, emotions are not a good gauge for truth. How many times have you discovered something that God is thinking and He expresses in His Word, and your initial reaction to it is no? Maybe none of you. You've agreed with God completely the first time you heard anything. But I'm telling you, when I first got saved, I was learning left and right just so many things about God. It was like every time I talked to a brother, every time that I came to church, there was something new. And man, some of the stuff just really sounded strange. And I'm like, man, I don't know. But you know, it was in the Word. It was written down in the Word. And I learned very early on, one of the things that was drilled into me is trust what God says. Amen. Just trust Him. It may not sound really right to you. I mean, you may not agree with it. It may leave you with some sort of a revulsion. And believe me, God's ways are actually revolting to a lot of people because it goes against their very grain. Emotions are not a good gauge for what's true. Because I'm telling you, your emotions can be deceived. Anybody ever been deceived by their emotions? Amen. I've been deceived by my emotions. I'm thinking, okay, here's the principle. I can't spend more than what I earn. But then you're walking by that beautiful truck. And it's way beyond your means, you know. And what immediately happens is that feeling comes inside, man, if I just had that truck. I mean, and replace the truck. Maybe for some of you, it's a gun. Or maybe for some of you, it's a house or something else. And you get this feeling. And I'm telling you, people know, advertising executives know exactly what it takes to manipulate your feelings where they can get you to just buy anything. Yeah, don't trust it. Not a good gauge. Emotions can leave you a victim of spiritual manipulation. Let me tell you how that works. Have you ever heard of a man named Jim Jones? Some of you don't remember him. He's before your time. He was late 70s. I don't know when. I can't remember. I think it was 78 or 79 when they went to Guyana. It was, but this was a guy, incredibly charismatic speaker. I mean, he could put us all to shame. He just had the ability to be able to manipulate and to be able to express and to be able to speak in such a way. And he had people actually following him to such the extent that they traveled with him all the way to a little place called Guyana. And he had them under his spell. And they all, that's where the term drinking the Kool-Aid comes from. You know, that's where it came from, because they would practice this mass suicide by all drinking this juice. And then one day that juice was poisoned. Over 900 people died. They were deceived by their emotions. If you're coming to God just for an experience, just to feel good, you are going to be disappointed, because sometimes the intent of truth is to make you feel bad. That's the intent.
I'm telling you, when I started investigating, I read the Word of God. There were days when I felt horrible when reading the Word of God. But there was a good reason for it. It's because I was full of sin and God was righteous. I was unholy and God was holy. And He was trying to show me what I really was.
Yeah, there's some times when you're closer to salvation when you actually feel bad reading the Word of God. The point is don't trust your emotions. People were praising God one week.
Hosanna, the King, He's coming, laying down their coats and straw on the ground and palm leaves. And the next week they were crying, crucify Him.
Yeah. Don't seek God for an emotional. If an emotional experience comes, man, awesome. But that not ought to be your gauge and that not ought to be your reason for coming. Because there's going to be some days you aren't going to feel God. You're not going to feel Him within 100 miles of the place. And you're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to walk by His promises. He told us He would never leave us and never forsake us. You have that. You'll be stronger than if you're relying on some emotion. There's another reason why some people follow Him, and that's for business and profit. I had a good friend and all over, just a nice guy, good guy, good in business and everything. He joined a particular church, and he actually told me why he joined that church. Is because there were some business contacts in that church that he desperately needed to get ahead. And so he joined that church in order to get contacts. And you know, there are a lot of people, they think that's exactly what church is for. It used to be in American politics that if you wanted to get elected, you had to be in a good church somewhere or in a church just showing at least the outward form of righteousness. Of course, that's all gone now. But, you know, people that are following the Lord in order to gain profit in their business, they're going to be solely disappointed. But you can see a lot of books out there, a lot of things that are using the things of God in a way in order to advance your business, in order to become more successful. I'm telling you, that's a horrible reason to seek after God. To see if He can bless your business, to see if He can give you profit. You just got to go back and look at the scriptures. Look at the 12 disciples. Oh, man, they're a great example of what it's like to die successful. And most of them died penniless. They didn't have a lot to their name. And furthermore, it didn't seem like they ever really cared. I never read Paul saying, lamenting and saying, man, I could have had so much more in this life, you know. Never read Peter saying, man, if I only hadn't have gone over there to Babylon to preach and I'd have stayed here, maybe if I'd have just kept my mouth shut, maybe, man, I could have had land. It didn't seem like they all even really cared. Yeah, seeking after God for business and profit, it's just a horrible way. And there are a lot of people that are absolutely turned off. Because they start seeking the Lord in order for God to give them something. Maybe they need money. Maybe they need to get out of debt. Maybe they need some other things. And so they pray and they ask God, Lord, get me out of debt. Or Lord, help me out with this. Or Lord, get me this job. And so when God doesn't come through, they are disappointed and they walk away. I've talked to some people that said, yeah, I tried God out. Like you can try Him out. But He didn't come through for me. Have you ever talked to somebody that said, yeah, I asked God to answer my prayer and He didn't do it. Therefore, God doesn't exist. Or, therefore, you know, I'm not going to seek His face. Listen, you need Him. You need God Himself. There are some things that God provides that you desperately need. And physical things, I'm telling you, are not a part of it. Some people, another reason why some people seek God, and these are all actual physical examples that I've experienced in my years in the ministry. Some people seek God because they need to escape the consequences. oh man, I'm in trouble. An unnamed individual was talking to me, and this was a long time ago, and he said, Brother Brian, and I never had really had the time for me before, but I'd always kind of tried to reach out to him, and one day he called and said, man, I got to talk to you. And I said, okay. So I brought it, and we sat down at Jim's, and we were talking back and forth. He said, man, I need help. I need God. I need to, you know, and he was just all excited. Man, settle down, man. What's going on? And he wouldn't really tell me. But it turned out he had committed a crime, and they had found him out, and he was getting ready to be turned into the police, and it looked like it was going to be a serious deal. So now, all of a sudden, now he needed God. Which, you know, you think, man, it's a good thing. At least he's seeking God. But he was very disappointed when God didn't come through for him and he was sentenced because of his crime. And there are people that are like that. They say, man, I prayed to him. You know, I sought him like you said. And he didn't come through for me. But the Bible actually, it identifies in the New Testament, it identifies the difference between worldly sorrow. That's sorry you got caught, and the sorrow that leads to repentance, the godly sorrow. When I get stopped for a speeding ticket, I don't have that godly sorrow. I have that worldly sorrow. I have the sorry I got caught syndrome. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't afford a $300 speeding ticket, you know, because when you do over 80 miles an hour in a 50 zone, then it doubles, you know. I can't afford this, Lord, you know. I'm crying out to the Lord, but, you know, I'm not sorry that, you know, man, I'm so convicted that I go past the speed limit, you know. I really need to stay down, you know. No, I'm sorry I got caught, and that's the way that a lot of people are. And they're seeking God for that. They just want an escape from their circumstances. Some people want God because they want Him to profit their business. Some people want to seek after God because they need some sort of an emotional high. They need some sort of an experience. Some people want to get out of their situation. Oh, yeah, Lord, come down and help me. Heal my marriage. Clean up my life that I've screwed up for the past 30 years. Lord, help me do something. And that's why so many people are disappointed in God, because they're seeking Him for all the wrong reasons. And God lays it out here. He said, you didn't seek me because you wanted me. You sought me because you wanted to fill your belly. You just wanted free food. There's some people, and this was the Pharisees' deal, and they did this more than once. They wanted to seek Him because they needed that sign or that wonder. What did they say to Him when He was on the cross? Hey, come down from the cross. As if, you know, I don't know if they understood the position that they were in. A tiny, minuscule peon of a human being. Understand this, God created the universe, right? The universe. I'm not talking about God created everything that we can see around us. I mean, God created stars that you can never see. They are so far away. That's God's realm. He said He did it with the span of His hand. That's how big God is. And then you get a tiny little little puny little being like them Pharisees. They got their hands on their hips and their shoulders held high and their, yeah, come down from the cross. We'll believe you. They had no clue who they were dealing with. They had no clue who they were talking with. But there are people that demand from God all the time. Show me a sign. Have you ever heard anybody talk about God and they say, yeah, He never showed Himself to me. Like if His God is some sort of a puppet, you know, that you can manipulate. They sought a sign. There were some people that saw a sign as proof of His validity. Do you know why some people aren't reading the Bible and everything? Because they see no proof. Anybody ask you, prove that God exists? You know what they're looking for? They're looking for proof. You know, if you don't see what's around you, and this was Jesus, his point. If you don't believe what you already see, You aren't going to believe because there's some sort of a supernatural miracle. Remember the rich man when he died and he's in hell and he cries out to Abraham and he says, hey, send Lazarus. Send him that he would go out there. And man, if they just saw Lazarus, my brothers would believe and they wouldn't come to this place of torment. If only you would show yourself to them supernaturally, then they would believe. But you know, he said, man, even, well, he didn't say man, but it's my interpretation. He said, if he rose from the dead, he said, if they got Moses and the prophets, if they didn't believe them, then they're not going to be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Isn't that absolutely true? Jesus stands by that graveside of Lazarus and he cries, Lazarus, come forth! And this guy comes out in his grave clothes. Man, comes to the door of the tomb. His body still wrapped in the grave clothes. You would think that the ones that were witnessing that were like, this is amazing. Now we believe. Man, there's no more ambiguity. Man, there's no more doubt. We believe Jesus is the Christ. But you know what they said? Kill him. That's pretty smart, killing somebody who just got rose from the dead. It's not going to work. They want validity. They want to somehow prove. For some, a sign, it's just not good enough. You can show them all the signs. You can show them all the miracles. And the truth is you think, man, there's no signs. There's no supernatural miracles. Man, there are miracles all over the place. The birth of a child. You talk about an amazing miracle. Man, I watched my children be born and just an incredible miracle. You think, how could that possibly just come, you know, from some primordial soup, you know, there's just no way. What you were witnessing is a supreme creator, an intelligent design who has created this amazing ability for procreation. And just the birth of a baby is an incredible thing. Amen. And then watching them grow up, we had some of the brothers over there yesterday, a couple of families, and we had them to our house. We hadn't had anybody over for a long time. And I got a little trail going through my back all the way to the back of the property and back up. And I run on it and kind of, you know, walk there and pray sometimes. But to me, it's just a trail and there's leaves and there's things. We got the kids on it, you know. And man, they're all out there and they're looking for bugs. Stephen's over there with his kid. And Stephen's like, go around that way. And they're catching lizards and they're thinking. And I'm thinking, man, the world looks so much different through the eyes of a child, you know. Kids just look at things and everything is like, wow, that's amazing. I picked up a feather and gave it to the kids. They're like, wow, you know, everything is good. You know, but then you get old and you grow and everything kind of gets a little cynical and you kind of lose your sight. And people get that way with God. I don't see anything. You know, I'm walking on the same trail you're walking on. I don't see anything miracle. But there's some people, they need that sign. And I'm telling you, God's not going to give it. Some people test the Lord with the signs. Yeah, I'll believe just like somehow, you know, like we've got the ability to command God and demand of him. Man, if you understood who you were, you wouldn't be demanding anything. You would be demanding nothing. You would be crying out for mercy. Jesus says there in John chapter 20 and 29. This is after he had the encounter with Thomas that doubted the testimony of his other associate disciples. And he says there in verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He said, you saw me. You got a chance to put your hands in my side and touch my wounds. And you believed me because you saw. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. You know, he's talking about our generation. We haven't physically seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any relics yet, regardless of what the Catholic Church is saying, that there are no relics left. There are no shards from his cross. You know, there's no pieces of his robe. There's an empty grave, but nobody even really knows where it is. You go to Israel and there's probably 5 or 6 graves where Christ died, you know, and everybody's making a profit off of every single one. We don't have any of that. We don't have any vestiges of that. All we've got is the historical documents in here. We've got God's word, but we haven't actually seen him. And what God is calling us to do is he's calling us to put faith in him with nothing external added other than his word. Amen. That's what he's asking us to do. He's asking us to believe what he said. He's asking us to believe the historical record. He's asking us to put our faith and trust in him without any signs, without any demands, without any kind of external benefits. Because I'm telling you, God did not die on the cross to make your business successful. He did not shed his blood in order for you to have an emotional high. He didn't become the sacrifice for sins in order that you might be pleased with some sort of a supernatural sign. He did it for a far deeper reason. And people are seeking God every day for minuscule, external, temporal benefits. And they're missing the whole point of the matter is Jesus Christ died for sins. Here's the deal. Is you don't need more stuff from Jesus. You need the forgiveness of sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Once you realize what you really are, you're a sinner on a broad road that leads to destruction. And you need to be on that narrow way that leads to life. And only Jesus Christ is that way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you, seeking Jesus is one of the greatest things that you could ever do. And if you seek him for the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of your soul, you will go to eternity and never be disappointed. I asked him one day to save me from my own sins. I asked him one day to clean me up and to make me righteous. I don't remember how I said the prayer. I'm sure, you know, some people say you got to say it just right. And man, just cry out with your soul to him and ask him for forgiveness. I'm telling you, he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He sent a lot of people away. He sent the rich young ruler. He sent him away. He sent these people away. He even sent the people that were coming to him. He said, hey. And a lot of people, they didn't walk anymore with him. And he let them walk away. And he asked his disciples, you guys want to go too? And they had a very wise answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But I'm telling you, God does want you to seek him. God does want you in his presence. But not for all this other stuff. He wants you so he can save you from your sins. You're a sinner. You're on a broad road that leads to destruction, and you need Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you from your sins. He says, don't labor for the meat which perishes. Now, don't go quit your job today, because that's not what he's talking about. Okay? Don't labor for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures to everlasting life. All your possessions are one day going to fade away. All of your health is one day going to fade away. All of the things that you pride yourself on in this life will soon be a distant point in history. The only thing that lasts is what Jesus Christ gives. He gives the forgiveness of sins. He gives the salvation of the soul. He gives the security of his word. He gives his promises, which will never be broken.
and you put your trust and faith in Him, I'm telling you, you put your trust and faith in Him for the forgiveness of sins, you'll go the rest of your life and never be disappointed. Amen. Seek Him for the right reasons. Realize that He's come and shed His blood for the salvation of your soul. Amen. Seek Him for that. Praise Him for that. Honor and glorify Him for that. Because He deserves it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that You've given us something so secure, so settled, so faithful. Lord, as Your word and Your promises and Your forgiveness and, Lord, Your life that You give unto us. And we love You for that. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be good witnesses for You. And I pray, Lord, that if there's someone listening to this message, either here or online, and they're disappointed in You, they're seeking You for the wrong reasons, You didn't come through for whatever, Lord, I pray that they would see and understand and realize why You really came and what You could really do for them. I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't just walk away and separate themselves from You eternally, but, Lord, they'd look at You again, and, Lord, they'd seek You for the right reasons. And Lord, Your promise is that You'd save them. I pray for their souls, Lord, that they'd be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You're welcome back at 7 o'clock tonight.